I'm listening to that weather report and I'm thinking, now that's a good day for a March.
No kidding. The sun is shining. It's about 53 or 54. It's going to get up possibly into the high 50s. And yeah, it's a great day for a March. And I went out on the street this morning. I drove in early. I generally leave home in Glen Ellen about, 8:15. And I'm here by 9 with time to spare. And this morning I thought, you know what? The traffic's going to be terrible. I better leave at 7. I left home at 7, flew in on the Eisenhower. I think a lot of the women who were coming in took the train. Some of them may have come in the night before. But anyway, I was here and I had time to spare, so I went out with my camera. I had planned to go out afterwards, and I may still do that. But I went out with my camera and ran into some women and guys on Michigan Avenue and City Front Plaza on their way to the march and took some pictures.
What their signs say? We talked about that last week.
Yeah, go look on the – I don't want to give it all away because they're
– Is it on Facebook?
It's on our Facebook page, on the Kathy and Judy page on Facebook. And hopefully I will take some more after the show and we'll post those as well. In the meantime – we know that I was going to say that a lot of you have feelings, really, on both sides.
And but we were, strong feelings.
Right. And we were this morning trying to figure out the best way to do this. Should we have this topic? And we finally decided, let's just open it up to speak your piece. Here's the ground rules, kids. We're not going to call names. We would like not to do that. And we're not going to go past 30 seconds, because when you do, I will cut you off. I'm sitting here with the button and with my stopwatch. So as soon as you start talking, I will hit the stopwatch, and you've got 30 seconds. So you might want to time yourself. This is John. Hi, John.
My fellow Americans, for those who say Donald Trump is not your president, then don't ask what your country could do for you, but what can you do for your country? You've been given civil rights and freedoms and liberties. As an example, you've been given the right to protest. They grant you that right to protest. What do? You break personal property. Love Trump's hate? Is that how love Trump's hate? By breaking people's personal stuff because you don't get what you want?
Okay. Thank you, John. There
we
go. That's
30 seconds.
What?
I just wanted him to know it was 30 seconds.
I love this timer. This timer's awesome. This is going to be a lot of fun.
Well, let's try it with Camille. Camille, speak your piece.
Hi, I'm calling in defense of the Chicago police. They have been portrayed as trigger happy, yet some of these thugs who have been killed would not be dead if they only obeyed police orders. Stop, drop the gun, drop the knife. Instead, they choose to disrespect authority, and it seems that there's no responsibility put on them. So I just want to defend the Chicago police.
Thank you, Camille. And nice timing on your part, right at 30 seconds. And this is Mike.
Hi, girlfriends. Listen, I'm just taking bets. I'm wondering how soon it's going to be before we have one of these tapes that I'm convinced the Russians have of our new president romping and stomping there in Russia back in the day, pea parties and whatnot. And I'm convinced that one of these things is going to get leaked out, and it won't be long. So it's going to be quite a ride.
All right. Thank you, Mike. All right, boys and girls, you get the idea. It can be about anything. Speak Your Piece has always been a forum for people to just say what they need to say. And whether it's about yesterday or today or last week, you can give us a call at 312-981-7200. You can text as well. It's
Kath,
just that...
What? Go on.
Finn, no, you're just going to get cut off after 30 seconds because I have a stopwatch. What?
I was going to ask you, did you watch yesterday?
I watched after the fact. I didn't watch during the fact.
Okay.
I watched after. I was coming in to get a filling, so I was listening on the radio. So I did hear some of it on the radio, but I didn't watch it and see the whole thing until
I
later.
Watched all day.
And that probably wasn't good for your health.
And my my heart is heavy and scared.
For your mental health, right. Yeah. All right. This is Mary. Speak your piece.
Okay. Give him a chance, please, before you start pouncing at him. You don't even know if he's going to be helping you. He wants to help the middle class. Most of you that are marching are in the middle class.
Okay.
In the middle class, okay?
Yeah. All right. Thank you, Mary.
Thank you.
Uh-huh. All right. I'm going to reset this. This is John. Hi, John. Speak your piece.
Yeah, hi. I think these marches send a tremendous message to the new administration. But I would love to see a movement to abolish the Electoral College and go with the popular vote. I know it's an insane idea, but that's what I think we should be marching for.
You know what? I have always thought, and John, I won't take this out of your time. Are you finished with your statement?
I
just would like for somebody on this station or another station or somewhere to have a reasonable, controlled debate. I would like to hear people on both sides of the Electoral College issue speak to why it's a good idea or why it's a bad idea, because I'm not really clear on it. And I couldn't agree with you more, John. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
All right. The feature is called Speak Your Piece, and you have 30 seconds because I got a timer on you, Peggy. Speak your piece.
Yesterday, when people were talking about the presidents and how all the presidents were there, I was really upset because nobody gave like a little shout out to President Bush that's in the hospital. You know, Donald mentioned all the presidents were there and somebody else said something. And, you know, he's still alive.
I heard somebody.
He's still alive.
I heard somebody mentioned that he wasn't there because he had been hospitalized. But, all right. Thank you. Thank you. Appreciate the call, Peggy. 312-981-7200. You can also text us. This is Tom. Speak your piece.
Good morning. God bless the United States of America. God bless the flag of the United States of America. No matter who the president is, I will stand up and protect him with my life, and I'll stand up and protect the United States of America with my life.
Are you a Secret Service?
Whether I voted for that person or not.
Okay.
No,
okay.
I'm just an everyday citizen who, you know, I will run to where the explosions are, or I will run wherever there's gunfire, and I will stand up for the United States of America.
Okay. Thank you, Tom. All right. 312-981-7200 is our number. Give us a call. Give us a text. We'll be back with more Speak Your Piece.
Oh, yeah. Speak your piece.
Where did that come from? What is that? Wait a minute. 312-981-7200. We're doing Speak Your Piece on the phone and on the text lines. On the text lines from 630, Donald Trump should have taken dance lessons. And from 608, hold on a second, that thing happened again. From 608, here's to a great 2017, new beginnings, leaving my horrible cheating husband in the past. And here's to me feeling and being able to move on. Yeah, you go, girl, 608. This is Barbara. Hey, Barbara, speak your piece.
Hi. I'm just wondering where all the women's marches were when Bill Clinton was about to become president, because I know he had to settle a couple of cases out of court for the women who had accused him. And he had, even during his presidency, had kind of taken advantage of a 22-year-old young girl. So I just wonder where the marches were back then.
All right. Thank you, Barbara.
Okay.
This is Maggie. Hey, Maggie, speak your piece.
Hi. My comment's more like John's on the Electoral College. Every candidate has said, get out the vote, get out the vote. We all get out to vote. Everybody votes, and the popular vote doesn't matter. And it's, again, what's the point of the Electoral College?
I appreciate that because I agree with you. Thank you.
It made sense a long time ago. It doesn't make sense today. And apparently it's really complicated to undo it, which
right.
is why it never ever
well,
gets done.
It's in the Constitution.
Yeah.
So that's going to require some considerable effort. Hey, June, speak your piece.
Yes, I think everybody needs to take the U.S. Constitution as a course and learn what it is all about. The checks and balances of the Electoral College is there for the smaller states not to be overrun by the bigger states. And the fact that the popular vote is one side of it and the Electoral College is another side of it gives each state. And if Obama had not allowed illegal voters to vote, Trump actually won the popular vote because illegals are not allowed to vote by
okay,
our Constitution.
June. All right, thank you. Your 30 seconds are up. This is Bill. Bill, speak your piece.
Yeah, thank you. The Electoral College was designed by the Founding Fathers to protect the country from the tyranny of the majority. If you are a liberal, progressive-leaning person, you would probably be in favor of the coastal elites running the country. If you are the vast majority of red states in between, you would not be so inclined. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Tim. This is...
There weren't really coasts when it was written. There wasn't really a West Coast.
It was about rural and city, wasn't it?
He was just talking, also referring to today.
Oh, right. Today, but when it was written. Right.
Right.
When it was written. Right. Hi, Max. Speak your piece.
Hi. I just want to say shame on the United States Democratic senators who didn't attend the inauguration. I would think if Hillary, who lost to Trump, could attend, I would think they should attend. And she didn't have to attend. That was totally up to her. They say there have been other losers that have not attended. So where were these senators? I think it's a disgrace to our Democratic Party. And they say Trump is separating the country. Well, look again.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Katie. This is Mary. Mary, speak your piece.
Hi. Good morning.
Good morning.
I believe that we need to bring back consequences in this country for wrongdoing. And I also believe that the media could change this country around completely by the way they report the news. They not only report the news, they teach people out there how to damage things, kill, murder, and all that stuff. And it could be changed easily if the media would just report the news and not show how things are done. Thank you.
All right. Thank you.
I'm so tempted to argue.
Yeah. We can't argue. 312-981-7200. Hey, Jerry, speak your piece.
Yeah, I don't understand the fire department. You pay taxes to support the fire department. Then when you use their service at the ambulance, they charge you $600 or $700 to go a mile and a half. And the firemen are just sitting there doing nothing anyhow. It doesn't cost the village any more money to take you to the fire department than have them just sit at the firehouse.
Is that in the... Okay. Finish your time, because you got a couple seconds left if you want. I have a question.
Okay, go ahead with your question.
Yeah, are you in Chicago or in a suburb?
A suburb, Des Plaines.
I wonder if that happens in Chicago as well.
Well, I never heard of it in Chicago.
Yeah, but you're saying in Des Plaines, your taxes go to support the fire department, and yet if you use an ambulance, you get charged.
Yeah, and
okay.
They're not doing the payroll anyhow, sitting at the firehouse.
Right. Jerry, thanks for the call. That's interesting. I didn't realize that that was an issue. Hey, Tim. Tim, you there?
Yeah.
Speak
hi,
your
I'm
piece.
Speaking my piece. We are the United States of America. So we are a collection of states. Each state elects their president. So it's not popular vote. It's each state selects the president.
Right.
So the popular vote can be different, and that helps each state. Like if you're living in Vermont or something,
okay.
They're not dominated by that. So
got your point. We appreciate it. Thanks. See, I'm just trying to be very fair here because I am using my little stopwatch on my iPhone, and it's very effective. So when people
you have a lot of buttons to push between your iPhone,
I know,
and pushing in the calls.
I know.
Very pushy
hey,
this morning.
Katie, speak your piece.
Yeah, I could go on an hour, girlies. I've been a Democrat all my life. I voted for Trump this time. It cracks me up when people are worried about Trump with the nuclear. America probably isn't aware that Slick Willie Bill Clinton, when he was president, he lost the key. The president is supposed to carry the key in his pocket at all times, and the Secret Service carries a little box to set off a nuclear weapon. Bill Clinton lost that key for over 3 months, and nobody knew where it was.
All right, Katie, thanks for your call. All right, 30 seconds, kids. If you've got a stopwatch on your phone, you might want to use that, too, so you don't get cut off. Barb, speak your piece.
I'm really ticked off at Rahm Emanuel for canceling the insurance on the retired employees of the city of Chicago.
Okay. That was short and to the
succinct, but
short
yeah,
and to the point. This is Peter. Hey, Peter.
Hi. I just wanted to point out that numbers matter, just as Michelle Obama says words matter. Donald Trump lost the popular vote by 2.8 million votes, but if you remove California and New York from the count, he won the other 48 states by 3 million votes.
All right. Well, that's interesting math.
That's why the Electoral College matters.
Okay. Thank you.
Let's change the rules to speak your piece and let us argue.
No, we don't. We've only got a couple minutes left. This time we're not going to argue. This is Diane. Diane, speak your piece.
Yes, hi. I just wanted to let Melania Trump know that women don't want her line of jewelry. Our gems are health care, education, world peace, child care, and a protected environment. Thank you.
There you go. See, a lot of our girlfriends are getting it now. They're keeping this really tight, and I think some of them are even writing it down. All right, Paul, you there?
I am.
Speak your piece.
I wasn't so sure 8 years ago that I wanted Mr. Obama as my president, but that's the way the election went, so that's the way it goes. And I hope that the WGN host can get over the election and get on to other things. Otherwise, I'm going to have to start listening to sports talk radio.
Okay. Pop, you there still?
Yeah.
Paul, do you feel that we're contributing to that? I mean, to be discussing what's going on today?
Girls, no. I think you're doing a really good job.
We do, too.
Because there are some of the other hosts.
Okay. All right. We don't want to be too
interesting opinions.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Paul. 312-981-7200. We can get in a couple more before we're done. This is Bert. Speak your piece.
Hey, just wanted to affirm there a person cannot be illegal, and no undocumented people voted in the election. And if you take Texas out of the thing, then guess what? Hillary wins the election. So you can't just pick
right. You can, yeah. We can all pick which states we want to take out of the equation to make it work in our favor. Hey, Christine, speak your piece.
Hi. I know this is a little frilly after the serious nature of the previous callers, but my thing is, I want to know, why does everybody have to go everywhere with coffee? Right?
You are just what we needed, Christine.
Oh, good. Glad
you're the best.
A little levity.
You're the best. Thanks for calling.
Have a good day.
And we'll wrap it up with Becky, who's been waiting. Hey, Becky.
Christine, that was awesome.
Yes, okay, she was. Sorry. Speak your piece.
Next election, I'm not going to sit back and relax. I'm going to work to register voters who have become too complacent. I believe it's time we have a woman in office, and I think everyone should research their own ancestry and find out how their family got to the United States.
Interesting idea.
Good point.
Interesting idea. Thank you, Becky.
Thank you.
And bye-bye. Thanks to all of you who called and who texted. In addition to trying to keep up with the calls, our girl Kristen Decker also, from time to time, will post some of the texts that we see up on the Kathy and Judy page. Yeah, actually, it's on the WGN radio page, / Kathy and Judy.
Our
said that, or someone told me that divorces go better with country music.
Oh.
They do.
Nice choice, Bob Ferguson.
Was. And I think that's true. I started listening to US 99 when I was going through my divorce.
And really?
I did. And it was very helpful.
Huh.
Because everybody's so sad in those songs.
Yes, they are.
Yeah. So anyway, the reason you're hearing that song is because I'd come across an article that said the divorce rate among people 50 and older has doubled in the previous 20 years.
Okay.
So my thought is, if you're 50 or older, you probably have an adult child. And if you were an adult child when your parents divorced, what was your reaction? I remember my mother saying to me, she came, my dad didn't come with her because over in Rome he wasn't feeling well. And she said, I'm so ticked off at your father that I'm thinking of getting, my mother never said anything that was, didn't sound like she was angry. I'm so ticked off at your father that I'm considering getting a divorce. And I remember saying to her, now? I mean, first of all, daddy's kind of sick, you know? I mean, and as it happened, he didn't live too much longer than that. But I thought, well, that's in bad taste. You know, why would you do that now?
Do you feel any, that's what you said then.
in my brain.
Right. Would you feel differently about that now? Would you be more empathetic, do you think?
If my parents, my mother had said that to me now, and I'm 70 and she's 90?
No. If you knew then what you know now, would that still be your response?
Absolutely not.
Okay.
Because people said my kids were college age or and high school age.
Right.
But they weren't fully adult. But, you know, you read a lot of stories about or know people who are adults and they're suddenly expected. Sometimes the parents, the new stepmom and the father think that the adult children of the stepmom should become part of a family with the adult children of, you know,
the other guy. Right.
So, but just the thought to disallow that could happen after so many years, yeah, it does seem hard to me, but I can understand if I'm 32 and all of a sudden I'm in the middle of family things and my parents are getting divorced, it seems really weird.
Yeah, I wonder if it's surprising. 312-981-7200.
Right.
Weird, probably, because they've always been a couple. They've always been a unit. But surprising? That's what I wonder about.
Well, if they've been fighting for 20 years.
Or 30 or 40, right.
Right. It's sort of like, why now? Why would you do this now? This is a little embarrassing.
which is so
selfish.
Right. Focused on oneself. Well, 312-981-7200. Give us a call or send us a text and tell us what your experience was. I think there are adult children of parents who divorced late in their marriage who would say, well, thank heavens, or, oh, for Pete's sake, what took you so long?
Well, that may be. I mean, there certainly are times when a kid might say to their parent, why don't you get divorced? You know, like that. But and an adult child might well have said that, too. I don't know.
Yeah, but I doubt that there are very many children who would say that. Even if they've been living in a house where people are fighting all the time or even throwing things at each other, I doubt that many children would say, why don't you guys get divorced? I think for children, that unit is the important.
My best friend's kid said it to her.
Why don't you get divorced? Really?
Uh-huh.
Oh, wow.
The kid was getting a really hard time from the dad, and my friend was always running in and defending the dad, and the kid, she was about 12, and that's what happened.
Said, why don't you get divorced? But for this kid, it sounds like it was more about her relationship with her father. Why don't you get this guy out of the house? Because I don't like him.
Well, and it was also that she was sick and tired of hearing her parents fighting all the time.
All right, from Area 713, a text says, my friend's kids say it too. And one of our girlfriends from Area 708, Judy, has a suggestion for you and for all our girlfriends who play country music when they're getting divorced. Play country music backwards and love stories have happier endings.
Play country music backwards?
From 773, I'm 52, and I said it to my parents when I was 12. So,
really?
Yeah, give us a call or send us a text, 312-981-7200. How did your adult kids, or if you were an adult kid, how did you react when your parents got divorced after 30, 40, 50 years of marriage?
She got the gold mine. I got the share. They split it right down.
312-981-7200. We're talking about when your parents divorce after a long damn time, 20 years, 30 years, 40 years, you're an adult. You just thought they'd be together forever, and all of a sudden,
how'd you react?
Right. And this is Caroline. Hey, Caroline, what was your story?
Hey, so thanks for taking my call. My parents got divorced about 4 years ago after 47 years of marriage.
Oh, my gosh. Who wanted it?
It was a shock. I'm an only child, so it was a pretty big shock. And, you know, your parents have their own set of quirks, and, you know, you just sort of accept things the way they are. And
do you remember growing up in a household that was filled with contentiousness and fighting and...
Some, but not, I mean, I wouldn't say it was anything more than probably anybody else had.
Did it look even now, up until 4 years ago, like everything was pretty much the same, or had there been increased, you know, friction?
Well, you know, you can always look back with hindsight and say, oh, yeah, why did Dad act that way or do this or do that? And he came out wanted out of the marriage, and it was a shock. My mom, and I feel bad for my mom in some ways because
he came out as gay,
Caroline, you buried the lead.
Yeah.
You
did he come out as gay?
Yes.
Oh my God! At what age?
Let's see. So this was 4 years ago, and he's 75. So 70?
At 71, wow. Your father had lived in the dark his whole life, and finally came out.
Yes.
Did he have a partner?
No.
He just didn't want to pretend anymore.
Exactly. Exactly.
You must have felt for him.
A different city now, and he has a partner, and he's happy. And my mom is here in the town where I live, and it's hard, and she's still very bitter about it.
Were you surprised?
Yes.
Totally.
Yes. So the day that he told us I'm married and have a son. And my husband and I went over to their house, and he sat down with all the four of us, he had already told her. And my husband, when we left, when we got in the car, he said, I knew it.
Did he say why?
Your husband had never said anything to you?
No, he just always, I think, suspected. But, yeah, I mean, what's the point of, you know, bringing it up, I guess, is what he thought.
Well,
hard. It's hard, you know, and I think the hardest part has been there's not been, I haven't found a support group per se for grown adult children where a parent comes out. It's very hard.
There's got to be one.
I have a lot of friends that, you know, they got divorced, their parents got divorced when they were in middle school or high school. But as an adult, it's really, really hard sometimes.
Have you ever talked with your dad about it?
No, I haven't, and I think he's tried before, but I'm not sure I can go there with that.
Really,
Is it because you are uncomfortable with people that are gay? Or
no, totally not. My parents, I would say, my parents were the most progressive parents when I grew up. We had friends with. They had adult friends with disabilities that would come over. They had friends that were gay that would come over. You know, I felt like I was exposed to a wide variety of lifestyles and people. And so I'm not afraid of it. And I'm not, you know, that's a really good question. I'm not sure. Part of me now just wants to look forward. You know, why do we have to go back and dredge through it and the why?
So do you want a support group or you don't want a support group?
Oh, sure. I'd love it.
You would love it.
Well, if anybody knows of one, I hope they'll call and let our producer, Kristen Decker, know so we can do that. I have a couple questions for you, though.
Sure.
Are you mad at your dad because he was gay?
No.
But you're. It sounds like you're sort of estranged from him.
Well, I guess I could say, and he could be listening, and if he is, I love you, Dad. He wasn't the most demonstrative dad growing up. And so there's that.
Okay. Was he a good dancer?
What's that?
Was he a good dancer?
Not really, no.
Okay. Did he have Judy Garland records? I'm just looking for clues.
He may have had a few Barbara Streisand.
Okay.
Well, that's okay. The
thing. Yeah. There you go. Well, have you ever, your dad's 75 now. It's not like he's got a whole lot of time left.
But would that be a betrayal of your mom?
Well, maybe. And I feel like she needs me more than he needs me now.
Because he has a partner.
She still cries about it. She still cries about it.
I wonder, does she feel like she had anything to do with it, or?
No, I don't think so. And just some of the things she says sometimes now makes me think that she knew then, you know, when they met and when they weren't engaged for very long. And she had a lot of relationships, I think, maybe not super serious, but somewhat serious in her 20s. And when they met, I don't know if she felt, I'm not sure what exactly she felt.
I can't.
But I think, oh, go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
Oh.
I interrupt.
So I think sometimes she looks back at things now with regret, you know.
Do you think she wasted her life?
Yes.
Oh, and you know what, Caroline, I would hate to have you look back with regret after your dad is gone and say, oh, man, why didn't I talk to him? Why didn't we? Does he know you love him?
Oh, yes. Oh, definitely.
Okay.
Definitely.
Do you like his partner?
I do, yes.
Is his partner a good dancer?
That I don't know.
Okay.
And Caroline, if you want to Google parents and friends of lesbian and gays, or also P flag is what a texter.
Oh, right. That's the, yeah.
Said that it's a pro gay, and you'll find some people there in the same boat as you.
Okay, cool. Great.
And several, at least a couple girlfriends have texted to remind us that this is the story of Grace and Frankie. Is it an HBO? It's a Netflix series.
Yeah.
Grace and Frankie,
sure.
Two girlfriends, just not romantic girlfriends, but girlfriends whose husbands were business partners and who left them, who ended their marriages so the two men could be together as partners.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
You know, it's a lot
Martin
of interesting.
Martin Sheen is really fat now.
Who is?
Martin Sheen. He's one of the husbands.
Oh, right. Yeah. Oh, wow. All right. Well, Caroline, thanks for your candor.
Oh, sure.
And your great story.
Thanks for introducing the topic. I think it's a good one.
Absolutely. We're talking about when your parents divorce after a very long time, or whether you're the parent and your adult kids are shocked. Patricia, apparently your daughter wasn't that shocked.
No, absolutely not. Yeah, when I told her, she said, "What took you so long?"
That's so funny because I'm looking at a text.
Somebody, one of you gals said something like that, you know. Before yourselves, you said, well, what would they say? Something like, you know,
what took you so long?
That's exactly. Yeah.
Right.
Exactly what she said.
And how old were your kids when they divorced?
Well, I only had the one, and she was about 23. And I was married 28 years.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been about 20 years ago, or maybe longer, 20 more than that, I guess, 25 years ago.
Was she upset?
Well, not in the beginning, but then later on she was, yes. Because she told me I dropped my responsibilities in her lap. And I said,
having to take care of your ex-husband?
Well, she felt she did. She felt, I guess, an obligation because it was her father. And he would lean on people and manipulate them. And so anyway, I said, he's an adult. He's not your responsibility.
Wow. Are you sorry you got divorced, or are you glad you got divorced?
Oh, no. I wished I had done it sooner.
Okay. Yeah. And
I gave
thanks.
The best years of my life. Are you kidding me?
Patricia, thanks. Girlfriend that I know, not well, but that I know is getting divorced. And I sent her a text and said, I do not know a single divorced woman who isn't happy that she did it. There may be some who were blindsided, who didn't, you know, it wasn't their idea or it wasn't their thought. But I think generally most women who get divorced are happier divorced. This from the text line. I was 19 when my parents divorced and had wondered for years why they had ever gotten married in the first place. Unfortunately, this meant I wasn't very empathetic with my mother, who was devastated. I wish I'd been kinder. So that may indicate that
the mother's passed away.
Have your caller contact Relatives of 21st Century Freaks website. I'm not sure what that is, but I would guess that it has something to do with coming out as a much older person. I think
that's a weird name. That's a little off-putting.
Freaks of the 21st Century?
Yeah.
Yeah. Another one said, I sat my 25-year-old son and his wife down to tell them, and my son's response was, why not sooner? What took you so long? This is Steve. Hey, Steve, what's your situation?
Hey, guys. Great show.
Thank you.
I was, I'm divorced 3 years officially. Mm-hmm. 2 years, before that, 2 years of separation, official separation. And I'm the one who asked for the divorce. The marriage was pretty dysfunctional for a long time. And I have three adult kids right now, 27, 24, 19. My 27-year-old got married recently, a few months ago, and was not invited to the wedding. And basically their mother has told and planted in them that I did not only divorce her, I divorced the family.
Ooh. Did you?
So, did I?
Did you divorce your family?
I divorced my wife. You know, I had no intentions of any of this happening as far as the kids going totally against me and the situation. Everything that I've done as far as legally, you know, the pain and so forth, I still have 3 more years left on alimony situation.
Steve, so your kids are not adults.
By age they are, but by brain-wise, no.
Oh, okay.
But, I mean, you have to pay for college and stuff like that.
College, yeah, I'm paying for part of my decree was that I paid for the house that she's still living in, taxes and maintenance and all that. For another 3 years, and then she has to put it on the market and sell it and split the proceeds.
When was the last time you talked to your kids?
One of them, a couple of them I talked to by text, not the oldest one.
How recently?
Recently, my son, who's the youngest one of all, actually, mm-hmm. when she gets him involved in an issue of.
How long since you've texted? How long since you've had contact with him?
Last week was during the week was the last time when he texted me on her behalf.
I don't understand what that means.
He was the intermediary between the two of you.
She uses the kids to you know, if she can't get an answer from me for whatever reason, she uses the kids to get it out of.
Okay. Well, this sounds like a complicated one, Stephen. Unfortunately, we don't have enough time to go into it all.
We're sorry. Yeah, we hope you mend fences with your kids.
Good luck to you.
Thanks.
Okay. We're going to be talking about life skills in just a minute, including SAVE or SAVING. But Veronica, what's the estimate of the count in Grant Park this morning? Oh, did we lose Veronica?
Oh my God! Because I thought I heard her say 75,000.
You can go
an
online, right?
Number
and on television, a couple of the local stations are carrying it live. WGN TV is carrying it live. CLTV is carrying it live. And you can go on Facebook, and there are a lot of places that that are carrying it live. I went out this morning on Michigan Avenue and City Front Plaza and took pictures of some of the girlfriends on their way. And I think when I'm done here, I'm going to go back down and try and get some more pictures of the crowds. It looks fabulous.
Tell about the metro station in Washington.
Oh, yeah. There were pictures, side-by-side pictures of a particular metro station in D.C. yesterday morning at 9:30 or something like that, and it was basically deserted. And this morning, the same metro station, there was an hour wait for trains. So this is huge. This is really huge. This is women all over, not only our country, but everywhere, really for the first time standing up and saying, don't disregard us. Don't discount us, because we are here and we are stronger together. And it's just, I think it's really
It's cool. kind of thrilling.
Yeah, it's kind of thrilling. All right. So speaking of life, and we were, Somebody posted on Facebook a week or two ago about why don't schools teach how to sew on a button, how to do a tax return, how to set up a savings account. And my thought was, well, I thought that's what parents did. I thought that's what moms and dads did with their kids, that here's how you do some laundry and here's how you sew on a button. And I think that a lot of these responsibilities are being turned over to others. And I had, and I'm interested in either your personal stories or your kids' personal stories. I know I've heard that people have kids who call up and say, "Mom, how do you boil water?" Or "How do you boil an egg?" Or just
I have trouble boiling an egg. Yeah. I can never remember the number on it of how many minutes.
So 312-981-7200. I had one of my grandkids called me the other night and said, "I have a life question, and I hope it's not stupid." And I said, "Not stupid if you have a question about it." And it was about a 401k. It was the first time this particular one has been working and had a 401k and wanted sort of information about how much he was putting some in, the employer was putting some in, where does this money go, how do I access it? I said, you don't access it, you keep putting money into there, and you save it until you're retired, which
maximize it.
Right,
maximize
seems like it. A million miles away, but it's here before you know it. So what did your kid call you to ask you about? Mom or dad, how do I whatever? Or what did you have to call your parents either recently or 30 years ago and say, "Mom, Dad, I'm embarrassed to ask this, but what happens if I have an overdue book at the library?" Just all the kinds of stuff that used to be taken care of by mom and dad. And I mean, I'm trying to think when I first got married. I'm sure there, well, I had, you know, what was the book that we all read about sex? I mean, because I didn't
have sex. You're a young lady now?
No, serious sex. Love Without Fear. Love Without Fear.
Yes.
Right. So I knew about the sex part from, you know, book learning, but the other required some on-the-job learning.
You never had the talk?
With my parents? Oh, yeah, when
mother.
I was 11.
Uh-huh.
But that wasn't about intercourse. That was about getting your period. 312-981-7200. Life skills. Where did you learn them? Or when did you have to call your parents? Or when did your kids have to call you to ask about things as essential as sewing on a button? Hey, Chris.
Hello.
How can you relate to this?
Well, I grew up with a single mother, and I was an only child after my brother passed away. So it was just her and myself for about 9 years until she remarried. And by the time I was 11, I was doing my own laundry as well as ironing all my own clothes, which at the time I hated my mother for making me do it. I mean, I was the only kid on my block who had to iron clothes.
Right, and that was back in the olden days when people actually ironed clothes.
Right. The 80s, yes, I was an 80s child.
Right.
And now I'm in my 40s, and ever since then, I thank my mother to this day for teaching me how to iron properly, because in every relationship I've been in, including my marriage, no clue. I was ironing my wife's clothes. I was ironing my girlfriend's clothes because they didn't know how to do it, and they didn't know. When I was doing laundry, she was like, "Why are you separating your clothes?" I was like, "Because you separate whites from colors." "Why?" I was like, "Oh, my God." you shouldn't have to ask why. This is how you're supposed to do it. And to this day, I have only met one other person that knows how to use an iron properly without
male or female.
Male or female?
Male. It was a male, and he learned in the Army, so that makes sense.
Right. Now, what do you still iron today? What still requires ironing?
When I don't feel like getting it dry cleaned, I have some very nice dress shirts that are 100% cotton. And I iron them because I want them looking a certain way.
Nice and crisp.
Before I have to wear them to.
Right. And do you use a spray bottle or do you use the steam attachment on the iron?
I use a steam attachment on the iron itself.
Okay. Now, what's the most important tip you can give to the masses who don't know how to iron about ironing, like a secret Chris trick?
That's a good one. You have to... Oh gosh, it's so hard because it depends on the item. But if it is a if it is cotton, like 100% cotton, like a lot of the dress shirts are, my recommendation is you use a lot of starch because you want it to have you don't want the wrinkles to come back immediately, and you have to make sure that you lay that. There can't be any folds or wrinkles in the shirt, because if you starch it and iron it, you're going to iron that fold right into it, and it's even harder to get it out.
There you go.
You sound like you have high standards.
Yeah.
When it comes to my clothing, yeah.
You're a good dresser?
I like to think so. I dress what's practical, not what's trendy. So I'm in my 40s. So.
Do you notice people's shoes?
I do.
See, I know there's people who do, and I'm not. And do you judge a person? I mean, we always tease Judy because Judy does the elevator thing where she'll scan you from top to bottom. If you go down and you see that somebody
don't mean to do it.
I know
it
you
just
don't.
Happens.
Somebody doesn't have great shoes. Does that somehow alter your perception of that person's value?
Human value.
At first I'd be like, oh my God, why are you wearing those? But no. Because I have a couple of pairs of shoes that if I'm in a hurry or I know I'm just going out for a bit, I will throw them on, and they're probably 15 years old, and one pair even has Velcro on them, you know, so.
Okay.
I can't
Okay,
judge.
So it stops at the ankles judge. For you.
All right. What's Thank that? You, Chris.
You bet.
You ironing crazy person, you. 312-981-7200, back with more of your calls about life skills and how old were you when you finally figured out how to do life skill stuff? Just a little detour from the topic. From the Chicago Tribune website, apparently the march portion of the Chicago Women's March has been canceled because there are 150,000 women in Grant Park. And the organizers said that considering the number of women, it said our march route is flooded. There is no safe way to march. We are just going to sing and dance and make our voices heard here. The rally and march co-chairwoman told the crowd just before 11 a.m. Initially, organizers estimated the event would draw 22,000 people and later upped that to 50,000. And now the march portion had to be canceled because 150,000. I got the chills. 150,000 women. Some of them are girlfriends, are there. And obviously, if you're there now, you're not hearing this. But we would love to have you go to our website when you get home, when you have a chance, to sit down and just tell us a little something about the experience. We'll give you a place to do that in a comments thread on the Kathy and Judy side.
You know, if it's happening in Chicago, I have to believe it's happening in other cities.
Absolutely.
You know, L.A. and the New Yorkers that couldn't get down to Washington. Washington, who knows what's going on. And
in other cities.
What if they get a million? What if they get a million in our country?
That'd be something.
Yeah.
One of our girlfriends from 312 points out there are many men, too. We know that. I got some pictures of some this morning that were marching or on their way to the march. So, yeah, absolutely. It's called a women's march, but it didn't preclude that men were involved and
Great
supportive.
Guys.
Absolutely. We're talking about life skills and the things you knew and didn't know or had to ask your parents or your grandparents. 312 said, I asked my parents how to buy a mattress and change a tire. A girlfriend from 847 says, my daughter-in-law is an FCS teacher. I don't know what FCS teacher is for middle school. And she has a lesson to teach how to butter bread.
Does anyone use butter anymore? They have all the fake butters. That
Family and
really...
Consumer Science is FCS.
Oh, family and computer. Oh, okay. Oh. Used to be home ec, right?
Yeah.
Thanks,
yeah.
Kristen.
Right. Thank you, Kristen Decker. So 312-981-7200. I had to ask how long to cook a roast. I knew the temp, but not how long. I was 20 plus. So these are our callers. This is Helen, and your daughter also teaches life skills in Manteno.
Yes, she does.
And
Hi,
what
girls.
Does she...
I really enjoy your program.
Thanks.
Thank you.
And what does your daughter teach?
My daughter teaches living. She teaches cooking. She teaches how to sew a button, how to mend a garment. She teaches vacuuming.
Oh, my God. Wow.
So
the whole kit and caboodle.
And I imagine some of these kids are hearing this for the first time.
These are teenage kids, boys and girls, who have been taken away from their families for whatever reason. They have no home life.
Oh, these are foster kids then.
No, they're in an institution for misbehaving. It's a
Okay.
Either sexually misbehaving or being abused.
Okay. And so it's a residential treatment center.
Yes, it is.
Right. Okay. Well, that's
great that they have that going
really
on
loves
there.
Her job.
What?
She really loves her job.
Well, that's really cool. Good for her. And good for you for raising such a good daughter, Helen.
Well, thank you very
much. Okay. Thanks for the call.
Thank you.
312-981-7200. This is Janine. Hey, Janine, where are you on this?
This is my pet peeve. I have so many friends who do everything for their kids that they're in their mid-20s. They don't know how to do anything. They don't know how to write a check to pay a bill. They don't know how to do their laundry, cook a meal. I mean, and then they make me feel bad because my kids do all that. And they say, well, I'm going to do all these things for my kids as long as they're under my roof. They're 25 and 26 years old.
Wow. That's that's pretty surprising.
My kids were making their lunches in first grade because I have three kids. I can't do everything. Obviously, they were supervised, so I passed that on to them. They got more laundry, sixth grade. They know how, they do chores because, I work full-time, so we all got to pitch in. It only makes sense, but unfortunately, I live in a neighborhood where there's gardeners, there's cleaning ladies, so they don't need to do any of these things. These kids don't even have to mow a lawn. And it just cracks me up.
Well, one of our girlfriends...
Well, it sounds like it makes you mad.
Yeah, you're out of breath.
It does. It just kills me. The other day, somebody was telling me, I did Jimmy's laundry. And I'm like, really? So I just don't get it. We're supposed to grow men and women, right?
Yeah.
We're supposed to raise men and women. And we're raising so codependent people.
Okay, there you go. Jeannie, good for you for raising kids that know how to do stuff.
You bet. Thank you, lady.
Okay. This is Joy. Hi, Joy. We're talking about life skills. Your daughter called you. Why?
Well, she had just moved into her first apartment, got her first job, and her roommate, she didn't realize her roommate had left something in the oven that was plastic, and so she called me in hysterics. Her oven was on fire, and she didn't know how to put it out. And it was on fire at that time.
At the time she was calling you.
At the time she was calling me.
My oven is on fire. What do I do?
Now,
exactly.
The answer, I think, because I'm not really sure, is turn off the oven and keep the door closed.
Well, she did that. Well, at first I said, well, get some flour, throw flour on it. That's normally what you do for a kitchen fire, or get your fire extinguisher. But they didn't have one, and she didn't have any flour. So then I said, well, grab some tongs, take it out, put it in the sink, because it was like a container, and just douse it with water. So that's
right.
What she did.
Well, we're glad she survived.
Oh, it was just too funny. She's
and next,
crying.
And next time she'll know what to do. Joy, thanks for the call.
Thank you, guys. Love you. Bye.
Thank you. One of our girlfriends, this one from the 815 area, says, are you kidding me? My kids age 40-plus still send me mending, even sewing on a button. And I sent a note back to her and said, what if you didn't do it anymore? If my 40-year-old kids sent me mending, I guess if your mother will do it, then why not?
That's why God invented cleaners.
There you go. Mom taught me how to do house chores, and now I'm paying her back by helping her with her cell phone and TV remote.
There you go.
She's 84. Just wrapping up our conversation about life skills, a text from one of our girlfriends said, I worked for one of the top high schools in Chicago. Senior year, as kids applied to colleges and scholarships, we found all the ones who didn't know how to address an envelope. Guess they only receive e-cards for their birthdays. We had to give them an instructional handout. Another teacher said that they had to teach eighth graders how to address an envelope. That may become a life skill that is obsolete in the next 10 or 15 years because there won't be that many regular snail mail pieces moving So
I think
anyway.
I addressed my first envelope in months yesterday.
How'd you do?
Well, the lines weren't really straight, but I did okay.
One of our girlfriends has texted us to let us know, don't ever throw flour on an oven fire. It could explode.
I just never a little, heard of that.
Yeah, just a little postscript to the conversation about life skills. Do not throw flour on a fire of any kind. It could explode. So,
you know, my home is a home that is flourless.
Really?
I
you
don't
never
bake.
Use flour for anything?
I don't bake. And I don't dredge meat.
Well, then I guess you don't need flour, do you?
What do you use it for?
I have gluten-free because I'll make stuff that's gluten-free. So
you mean like bakery goods?
Yeah, like cookies or something like that. Yeah.
Do you make cookies just for yourself?
No, but at the holidays or if I'm bringing something to somewhere, I'll make cookies and always make them gluten-free. And people never even know.
Oh.
But anyway, so that's why I have gluten-free flour.
You're such a house frau.
I know. I know. You know our number, 312-981-7200. Getting lots of texts this morning. Some of them really bitchy. Kristen put some of them up. Can't put all of them up, but you can. That's one of the ways that you can try and get in touch with us.
Were they bitchy about Speak Your Peace?
No, they were bitchy about the Women's March.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, a lot of Speak Your Peace was about the march.
Right.
So I wanted to address the issue of if you have kept something from one of your relatives that's really totally useless but means a lot to you. Our number is 312-981-7200.
Okay, go ahead.
I was going to say, I have... it's a medal that was given to my father, who never got a medal for anything in school because he wasn't a real strong student.
A medal like an awards medal,
like
not like
award.
A religious medal.
Right.
Right. Okay.
An award medal because he had perfect attendance at Sunday school.
Okay.
And there's nothing for me to do with this. But I couldn't throw it out because he never got any other medals. And not that my father, not that we were a medal-filled home, because my father was not in the service. He had rheumatic fever. But I keep this medal. And I remember years ago when we talked about a sentimental thing you keep from your parent or someone in your family, grandparent, and one of our girlfriends had her mother's teeth in a little plastic bag in a closet.
Yeah.
That was...
I remember that.
That was, you know...
So, Judy, you have your father's perfect attendance medal.
At Sunday school.
When you die, where's that going? Is Aaron going to get it? And is she going to be keeping it in the back of some dresser drawer till she dies?
Well, I don't know if she'll keep it.
Yeah, see, I'm Mrs. Non-Sentimental, so I don't have any trouble. I don't have any trouble throwing stuff away.
I wouldn't expect Erin to keep it, but if she chose to, that'd be fine. If she chose to toss it, that'd be fine. But it's Daddy's medal, and
I know when Brian died, my ex-husband, Brian had a lot of plaques and honors and memberships and from classes and everything. And Pat and Kyle were so torn. Well, what are we supposed to do with this stuff?
Mm-hmm.
And I said, look, you guys will make your own decision about what you're going to do with it. But when I croak, you can throw anything away and not feel guilty about it. Because it's not about the kids. It's about the person who's gone.
I know, but that's what makes it a memento.
Where is it right now, Judy?
It's in a drawer, in a like a box of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know, kind of a little junky drawer.
Right. Okay, but, well, I'm not the one to participate in this conversation.
And
huh?
So, well, and also, I mean, I certainly feel I don't expect my kids to hang on to, you know, like you and I won Gracie's or something like that.
Right.
I, if they want them, fine. But if not, that's okay. They can't have my teeth.
Yeah, and my question is, why would they
not have my teeth?
The, you know, an Oscar, yeah, I could understand that. An Oscar or an Emmy. But beyond that, I just expect when I croak that my kids are just going to pull out the big black garbage bags and just start tossing stuff. And I hope they'll do that without feeling guilty, because this was my life. This wasn't your life. It was my life. And
I know, but it's a tangible piece of you that they might attach to.
Well, if they want to, they're certainly welcome to. But I don't want them to feel guilty about not wanting my stuff. All right, this is Sherry. What are you holding on to, Sherry?
Hi, I have my father's football letters from college, and he would have been 100 this year.
Mm-hmm.
They were from his jersey, and I also have his pipes. And every so often, I'll open the drawer, and the pipes smell wonderful.
Mm, like him.
Back all the memories.
Right, mm-hmm. Right, exactly.
Yeah, cherry tobacco.
Are those letters all kind of crackly?
No, they're fabric, and they've held up beautifully.
And what do you expect will happen with them when you leave?
Everything
this
will get tossed. Mm-hmm. When we downsized, my kids used to answer the phone, "We don't want it."
You kind of a gatherer?
Yeah. A little bit.
There you go. Thank you, Sherry.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
This is on the text line from 815. I'm assuming directed to me. So you killed off a husband and two dogs? No, the second one is still alive. Well, they call me the junker. Kathy and Judy back. We're talking about things from your parents that you have and may or may not feel attached to. And Judy and I are in different places. I have always been straightforward about my not being a sentimental person. I'm just not. And one of our texters from Area 815 says, your parents are part of your life. I have things from World War II that were medals and awards of my dad's, and I treasure them. Can't believe they would not mean anything to you. I think this is just an example of how people are different. I totally respect that this person's medals from her dad or Judy's dad's perfect attendance medal are meaningful to them and they want to hold on to them. I'm not trying to tell them they have to feel the way that I feel, but apparently the caller says that I should be feeling the way she's feeling.
I think there are thin skins at this time of our life.
Do you think?
This day. Yeah.
312-981-7200. This is Joanne. Hi, Joanne. What's your story?
I just wanted to tell you, my husband passed away before my three youngest grandchildren were born, so they didn't know him. But they heard us talking about him all the time, and we'd light the red lights on a Christmas tree every Christmas for him. So anyway, these little kids wanted a connection to their grandfather. So I said, okay, find something you want to give them that's very little. One little guy brought us little sparkly red pieces of plastic because that was his favorite color. My other grandson brought a little medal, and they wanted to give it to him. Now the man's dead. So we went to the cemetery, and I said to them, we're going to put them right down next to the gravestone.
Mm-hmm.
And the kids were so excited about that. They brought something to Grandpa.
Well, that's very sweet.
And, I mean, you must have told a lot of terrific stories to make them want to give back to him.
As a matter of fact, his birthday comes up the 30th of January, and we already got the big plan for what are we going to do to celebrate Grandpa's birthday, and the man is dead 16 years. But I think even young children today, especially at my grandkids, they're coming up totally without paper. They're all text everything. But they have that connection and understand you honor the person that went ahead of you. And that was their honor. to bring a little
well,
gift.
Well, it's a great
very
story.
Sweet. Very
and
sweet,
I'm
Joanne.
I'm sure most kids don't share that, but that's very nice.
And Kathy?
Yeah?
I'm an O'Malley, too.
Oh, are you? Did you marry into it, or were you born into it?
No, I was born into
oh,
it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but oh. I get a kick out of hearing your
we're
name.
We're everywhere,
time.
Joanne.
And you see a relative often of mine.
Who's that?
Lou.
Lou Manfredini?
Correct.
Oh, okay. So you were in O'Malley.
And... Yes, and he married into one of my O'Malley cousins.
Okay. All right.
So he's Irish.
We're all connected.
You got it, sweetie.
Joanne, thanks for the call. 312-981-7200. We're talking about the stuff you were left by your parents. Dale, what's the story in your family?
So my grandmother's house was the place that all of us cousins got together, and she has this pad, this pot, with a lid on it, with a spinner on top, with a wire going down into it, and she would make popcorn for us kids.
Oh, sure, you keep turning it because you keep turning it like in the movie Popcorn Makers.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly. And it's like totally black. And when she died, we all, you know, got some piece of memorabilia. My cousins still swear at me every single time they see me. And they say, we're going to get that popcorn maker from you because that's the thing that reminds us of grandma.
Now, do you ever use it?
No.
It's sacred.
Just a piece of memorabilia.
But if somebody else wanted it, really wanted it, why wouldn't you sort of share it around with everybody?
I would never get it back. You don't know my cousin.
Okay. All right.
I did want to let you know, we're actually calling from Washington, D.C.
Are you at the march?
Are you at the march?
No, we're not at the march, but we just drove past a metro station. All the signs say every metro station, there's no parking. And we just drove underneath one of the walkways. Mm-hmm. And the women are still, I mean, everybody, you know, the lines are still, I don't know, 50 to 100 people long, just to get into the metro. That's not on the platform, just to get
into the station.
This is really
outside.
Something.
Yeah.
This is something.
Right. I think this exceeded most everybody's expectations. Did you hear there were 150,000 at the Chicago March?
I did. That's fantastic.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, safe trip home, Dale.
Thanks a lot.
Okay. 312-981-7200. This is Rhonda. Hi, Rhonda. What are you holding on to?
Hello. I have a lover, friend, who I'm still in touch with, and he has sent me over the last several years a lot of erotic drawings and letters about us, and I can't get rid of them. He told me I should throw them out because I still continue to read them. I talk to him every day. I don't know what to do. I think that if somebody found them, they'd have a lot of fun giggling and looking at all the drawings and the language that he used and the erotic letters.
So you're no longer lovers, but
yes,
you're still friends.
No, but we don't live in the same city, and he calls me every day. So we're still in touch, but we live in different cities.
Okay, so if you came to his city...
If you just croaked, who would come in and find them?
Well, if I died and somebody was taking apart my house...
Do you have children?
No, I don't, but
okay.
I have family.
Okay.
I have sisters and nephews and nieces.
Okay, so your sister goes into your bedside table and goes, Rhonda, scam!
There's so many letters, I couldn't keep them in my bedside table. The drawer was collapsing. I had to put them in a big bag, and I told my cousin if anything happened to me, I told her what the bag looks like and that she should take them.
What do you do while you're reading them?
Well... think of him, or I don't read them so much anymore because I have such a stack of them. I've got
how many years has this been going on?
Well, we met many years ago.
Like 40?
No, I'd say in 68. No, but he's been sending them to me for the last, I would say probably for the last several years.
Is he married?
Yes. He is now. He wasn't when I met him.
Did you hope to marry him someday?
No, we didn't.
You were just doing the funky monkey. That's what it was about.
Our relationship wasn't that long because he was leaving to go on a fellowship to another country.
Ah.
So anyway,
have you had lovers since then, Rhonda?
Have I?
Yeah.
Oh yeah, I have, but not of this kind. I mean, we're soulmates.
There's a history there. It's all down on paper.
Oh yeah, we're soulmates. Our numbers match and everything. And so it's a very unusual relationship.
Was he good in bed?
Excellent. The best person ever.
Wow. Lucky you. No wonder you keep the letters and the drawings.
Well, he was Asian, and he knew all the Indian kind of secrets.
Oh, a little tantric stuff.
Yeah, oh, definitely.
And you knew all the positions.
We have a tantric girlfriend.
What's that?
I'm impressed.
What's that book? What's that book that has all the positions, like the bending lotus?
Oh, the Kama Sutra?
Oh, the Kama Sutra, right.
Probably the Kama Sutra, yeah.
There you go.
Yeah.
Oh, Rhonda. Lucky you.
Do you want to share any of those letters with us?
What?
Do you want to share any of those letters with us?
I could sometime, yeah, if you could. You'd probably be bleeped off the air.
Okay.
I mean, but he calls every day. He calls at least once every day.
Does he talk dirty to you?
Sometimes.
Even when Mrs. Lover is around?
Even when what?
Mrs. Lover. His current wife.
Oh, no, he waits for her to go out and walk the dog. And
okay.
Then he
Honey, you go walk the dog. I'm calling Rhonda and talking dirty.
Right. No, he has many times on where he's by himself for a long period
of
time, and that's when he'll call. And when she was working, he would call me about four or five times a day. And
wow.
We would talk. So, you know,
Rhonda, I wish we had more time,
but
unfortunately we don't. If you're a regular listener, maybe this will work out to discuss something like this again.
Oh, I am a regular listener.
Excellent. Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye, Rhonda.
Bye-bye.
People's lives.